Well, hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a discipleship podcast focused on how parents can better disciple their families. My name is Matthew Wilbanks. I'm here with my good friend Tim Rose. And Tim, I have been swindled.
How so?
One of my professors, Dr. O, has been either told or asked by his boss, the provost, Dr. Madison Grace, if he would run the Cowtown Half Marathon with him next year, which in turn he looked at me and said, "Hey, Matt, you should or you will run this half marathon with me." And I was like, "No, I'm not going to do that." Because I didn't know when it was. He's like, "It's in a year." And I was like, "Okay, I'll start training for it and see how I feel." And yeah, I feel like absolute doo-doo.
Yeah, I mean, you're just giving, I think, our listeners more and more of a reason to not go into higher education, specifically not.
Well, I mean, if you do, don't have any sort of personal relationship or friendship with any of your professors.
Correct. That is the best way to go.
Oh, so yeah, no, my legs hurt. It was cold this morning, but I'm feeling okay for the most part.
Yeah, you know, Matt, take this however you'd like to take it. Mm-hmm. But I believe I can say this in the context of our friendship.
Yeah, I don't care. Suck it up.
Yep.
It's your own dumb fault.
I mean, it ain't that difficult to say no. Trust me.
You're right.
But, yeah, you have fun with that. I'm going to keep, you know, just being a full-time student pastor. Seems like way better than whatever education thing you're doing, because you're also in the midst of writing papers right now during what is supposed to be a break, correct?
Supposed to be a break.
Can I? Okay, so we have neglected on this podcast to talk deeply about issues of Southwestern, and I'm not suggesting we do.
Uh-huh.
But can we just for a minute discuss the absolute garbage it was when Adam Greenway tried to rebrand fall and spring break as fall and spring reading days?
It has to do with like some sort of accreditation thing in order for us to keep them or something. I don't know. That's what I've been told.
Look, the world needs more of us calling things as they actually are. Because what it did was empowered every one of those professors who had like been on the fence of, should I assign a ton of work during spring break or not? It empowered all of them to assign a ton of work. When in reality, students, at least at seminary, I'm not talking about college students who go over to South Padre and get drunk for the week. Seminary students especially, and master's students who are often trying to do other things than just, you know, get the fun part of college done with. Mm-hmm. Like, they need the time to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And in, frankly, many areas of seminary, you have people who go on mission trips over spring break and have events over spring break and do things. And the last thing that any of us needed was to write a 15-page paper over a topic that nobody cares about.
Not just that nobody cares about, it's a topic that was assigned to me. I didn't even get to pick it, which is like, I can't even enjoy my research. It's more of just like, here, this is what you're writing over. Here's the outline you need to follow. Put it on my desk by Thursday. And I'm like, dude, really?
Yeah. Students don't get a pick, obviously, in who the president of the university is. And I understand that fully and why that happens and et cetera. But let me just tell you, the second I heard that my spring break was now a spring reading days, I was out. I was done. I was like, forget it. You know what? At least the last person who was the president didn't ruin my spring break. He probably encouraged numerous professors to ruin it, but he didn't officially ruin it himself.
Right.
That was terrible. terrible move. I was so mad. Because you remember we had multiple college professors who were like, since it's a spring reading days, I'll assign 1,000 pages instead of just 500. Mm-hmm. And you're like, are you kidding me?
Yep. Remember when we did a mission trip and we had, what was it? It was like a midterm when we got back.
Yes.
And it was like, what? Just give it to me before I leave.
Yeah.
Give it to me before I leave, not after I get back. That's probably even worse.
Because I remember the professor also saying, well, you'll have spring break to study. Yeah. And I was like, bro, first of all, let's not think so highly about yourself. Secondly, you know, March Madness is happening. Like,
oh my gosh, yes.
Even if I was a good student who wanted to study, I'm not studying over watching like 800 college basketball games all at the same time. The only time of year I even watch college basketball is this time.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't happening, son.
Yep. Anyways, so I'm swamped.
Yeah.
This week. So this may or may not be a longer or shorter episode. We'll see how it goes. But Tim,
that was a terrible set of sentences right there.
You know what? Okay, let's try it again.
that was like, you remember in college when they told us, don't just say this is like this, but it's not. That was exactly what you said there. This might be a longer or shorter episode. Well, hey, correct. Man. It'll be one of the two, Matthew. Which one will it be?
It could be anything in between. Anyways, who cares? Tim, what are we talking about? There's no transitioning out of that.
We're talking about something, or we might be talking about nothing. Who knows? No.
Shut up. Just say it. Spit it out. Sorry, so, my brain is mush. I'm trying to think about all these different things all at the same time.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is, you know, Matt and I, we've laid foundational elements of understanding your family and how they do faith and how we strive together in faith. We've talked about those multiple times, whether it be the Shemadol, whether it be instilling a family life verse, or maybe even doing some sort of family covenant. Mm. And so what we want to talk about today is, I think, a side of this that maybe we've underplayed, though I know in our family, this is not something that we neglect. It's often more difficult to talk about. And that is really understanding how to perceive and listen to and follow the Holy Spirit when it comes to what your family is doing. And so what we mean by this is, for instance, in our family, you know, we have Micah 6:8, as we've talked about before, as our family verse. And that guides our family. That's something that we kind of fall back on and lean on as we do everything. But as you know, there are different seasons, and often the Lord presses upon our hearts different things in different times of either the year or different times of our kids' lives or just different times of our family. And I think sometimes if we fall into a trap of saying, oh, well, this is my family verse or this is our family covenant, we might miss out on what God is actively doing and calling us to. Mm-hmm. It's important to remember that the Holy Spirit is not just found in the pages of Scripture, but He indwells in each one of us and is still at work. Right. And so what we're going to talk about today is, okay, how do we listen to the Holy Spirit? How do we make sure it's the Holy Spirit? And then what is kind of the place of His movement in our families? And so I think a good spot to start here is a biblical understanding of not only the Holy Spirit, but of spirits as a whole and how we listen to them. And that comes from 1 John 4. 1 John 4 says, starting verse 1, says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know the Spirit of God. But this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so the simple application of this passage into what we're talking about is, as you're sitting there in prayer, which, by the way, this all really is foundational in prayer. Mm. You're sitting there in prayer and you're listening to God, as we've talked about before. As you begin to hear from him, what may sound like and feel like, hey, this is where our family needs to go this year, these next few months, whatever. The first thing we need to do is we need to test that. Mm. And our test is, well, it's the word of God. So for instance, I can give you an actual what has happened in our life. So like this past year, Mary and I, at the end of last year, beginning of this year, as we prayed together about what God had for our family, what was very clear to us was that, yeah, Micah 6:8 is still our life verse. It's still our family verse. Mm. But what was pressed upon us was that we were to steward this year.
Mm.
And that this year would be a year of stewardship. That meant that it was, and that was like clear to me from God. I mean, I just knew. And that's something that as we went and tested it, we asked ourselves, okay, does God's word say anything about us stewarding? Well, yes, it actually says a lot.
It says that's quite a bit.
That is more or less the job of the Christian. And so then we begin to ask ourselves, okay, what is God having us steward this year? And what immediately came up was, one, finances.
Mm-hmm.
Does God's word say things about finances? For sure. We already knew basically what God was telling us there. God was asking us to steward our finances well, meaning that extra income we got in from Mary doing her tumblers and things like that were going to go towards paying off debts that we had. Does that match what God's word says? Yeah, mm-hmm. Obviously. We also knew that in having that extra income, that we would need to give more generously back to the Lord. Simple. So we also knew that stewardship had something to do with our children, that we were to steward and raise them well. Matt, do you think God's word says that we're to steward and raise our children well?
I mean, let's see. It says that you need to, I don't know, repeat God's word to them every day. You shouldn't provoke them to anger. You need to lead them in the way of righteousness. There's just three just off the top of my head right there.
Yeah, it says a few things. And so for us, that was obvious. Now this may seem odd. Some may be sitting here and they may be saying, well, hold on. Like, all you're saying are things that are actively true. Like, why would that be any different? Well, in reality, the difference is that often we live our lives with focuses elsewhere, or maybe we have our focuses spread out. For us, for Mary and I, a lot of the way that we have done life and it has been happening is, yeah, like we focus on the youth ministry here. We focus not just on, oh, let's steward our finances, but, okay, what things do we want to do? What things do we need to do in life? And therefore, this was not saying that, oh, God had given us some sort of new revelation. I get very skeptical when we talk about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then instead that this year just needed to be a focus. There was a focus on eliminating debt. Why? Because we have a belief that God will probably be adding to our family soon. And we needed to remove debt. That way we could have new family members.
Mm-hmm.
Children are expensive, by the way, if you're unaware.
Oh, yeah.
But in the same way that we needed to look at the boys, and we had kind of set up decisions for the boys' future that we needed to take a step, this being a time before the transition of them moving into school and things like that, that we needed to sit down and say, okay, hey, what do we want to do with their schooling?
Mm-hmm.
And we've had those conversations. I think what's significant here, and then Matt, I'd love to hear your opinion on this, but I think what's significant is for us to be in tune to the will of God, because often the Holy Spirit will speak about things before we actually have to get to them, which is a foundational element of good conversation inside of a marriage. rather than get to a spot where you're stressed and upset, have the conversation before. So Mary and I have been having conversations about the boys' schooling 2 years before they're actually ever going to need to go into school. Because this year we felt as though, hey, God's pressed upon us that this is something that we need to steward well. So Matt, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so when we look at 1 John chapter 4, there's a couple things that are important to see. So like verse 2, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Like, I preached a sermon on this last year about how we need to view signs and wonders specifically in the book of Acts, but really throughout the Bible. What are these, you know, supernatural things that has happened to, you know, that the prophets did in the Old Testament, the apostles did in the New Testament? What's the purpose of that? And I drew three conclusions for each person of the Trinity. Number one, for God, God does amazing things to show and demonstrate his power to people who do not believe. Two, Jesus Christ did these things to prove his message and show that he means what he says. And then number three, the Holy Spirit does these things in order to point to the gospel message of Christ. And it's not just this doctrinal thing that I came up with that best fits, you know, my beliefs. It's a pattern we can see throughout Scripture. And there are times where our own thoughts tend to go against what is normative in Scripture. We don't like to deal with things in the supernatural realm that happen. So like, for instance, you look at the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 7, Nehemiah's trying to figure out what he's going to do next. He's got all the people. They finished the wall. And in verse 5, Nehemiah, it says something along the lines of, "Then God placed this idea in my mind." Like, we don't give God enough credit for the things that we do. And this is one of them. Like, we want good things for our families. We want these good things to happen. And we have all these thoughts going around, all these different things trying to influence us. And if it is not directing us to loving our family and doing the things that Christ Jesus says is good, those are bad thoughts and those are bad spirits.
Yeah.
The American church likes to separate the natural and the supernatural. Throughout all of Scripture, those two realms was just the realm of creation.
Yep.
And it's incredible that when you change your mindset of this is just how God works and this is how he operates, the things that are seemingly supernatural is just understood as this is something that God is allowing to happen. This is something, or if it's good, this is something God is doing. Like, we shouldn't be afraid of the spiritual realm. In a sense, we should. We should hold it to a high regard, and we do, in a sense, need to fear it, because if we mess with, you know, especially like demonic figures and things like that, like, it is a scary thing. But in the same sense, if we have things that are pointing us to follow what Scripture says, that point us to proclaiming Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, we need to follow those things. And so all that to say, like, there are some things in Scripture that we should be doing and think, well, this is just a part of the Christian life. This is what we need to do as a family. And Tim, you can speak to this because you've recognized this. Like, you've always tried to be a good steward. You've always tried to raise your boys well.
Yep.
But have they been your priority?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those that, again, it's like, it's a priority, mm-hmm. but what this year it became was the priority.
Right.
It became the number one thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So these things that God uses to point us to his word, these sometimes these words just jump off the page and you're like, whoa, that makes a lot of sense for me. Like, there's a reason both of us continue to go back to Deuteronomy 6 and the Shema. And we say that's your model for parenting. Because if you are not leading your family in the study of God's word, you will be susceptible to things, to the spirits that are not good. And you will instead do these things, as verse 3 says, every spirit that is does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, even now is already in the world. Like, we're talking 60, 70 AD when this was written, possibly 80 or 90, thousands of years ago. And he's like, hey, it's already here. Don't you think we're any different? The answer is no. These things, these negative, evil spirits that are in the world are still trying to drive you away from the truth. And the truth of the matter is, God's word is supreme because it tells us everything God wants us to know. And if we are not leading our family in the study of his word, we are going to let other influences take us away from it. And that's why you see families with such, you know, broken relationships in their home, because there's not a set standard of this is what we need to do as believers. And again, we've talked about this before. It is a very difficult thing to get everybody on the same page. A joke I like to make all the time is where there are, you know, three Baptists gathered, there's going to be four opinions. Like, it can be hard to get everyone on the same page, which is why you need to make it your priority to study God's word and teach it to your family so that, verse 4, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. If you have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you, you have something that is greater than everything else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads you in the right way to say, you know what, this year we haven't been doing a good job of focusing on fill in the blank. So what we need to do is we need to take the promise, this promise that the one that lives in me is greater than that is in the world, and say, from this moment onward, we are going to do better at fill in the blank. We are going to be better at praying together as a family. We are going to do better at having a Bible study, you know, with us, to a devotional time with all of my family getting together. We're going to do a better job at serving others. Like, that should also be a priority you have, because the influence you have may be, you know, I'm going to do it again, Tim. It may be great or it may be small.
Oof.
But you still have influence on people around you and how they see your family work and how they see their own family work can be something of, why do your kids act so well? Why do your kids act this way? What's the difference? Why I'm having a hard time with my children. Why are your children this way? And you can say, we've set it in our heart to raise our family in the word. And you can use that as a way to get other people to come beside you. But these priorities come from principles found in the Bible. It's not the, you know, apologetic group gurus out there. It's not the really good pastors that are out there. It's your dedicated time reading and studying God's word and having God speak directly to you through his word to say, this is what you need to focus on. And if it's anything that it goes against scripture or anything that goes against Christ himself, that is a sign to you that says, this is not what we need. We need something else. And it takes a lot of maturity to say that.
Yeah, so I think to end this today, because I think we've really dealt with the entire topic, but I would give the encouragement to any parent of just, like I said, test whatever it is that you believe God's moving you to with His Word. Mm-hmm. If you think that that God is moving you to take less care with your money and more risks with your money as your family, I would probably test that against God's Word. It's probably not going to end up well for you on that one. If you feel like, man, I really feel as though God is leading us that we need to, you know, abandon all the normal wise decisions we've made with our kids' schooling, and even though both of us go to work 40 hours a week, we're going to go ahead and homeschool our kids and we're going to have them teach themselves, I would probably look at God's Word and see if that is really the best idea for you. Mm-hmm. But if you notice that God is moving you in a way that, yeah, goes exactly with what He says previously in His Word, then all our encouragement today is that, yes, continue to follow the Shema model. Continue to follow the whole counsel of God, but be aware and be careful to listen to where He may be having you spend a season.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I think part of this too is God is going to get you into the season He wants you into. That's how His will works, is you're going to get there one way or the other. But I think the astute parent listens to Him first rather than being thrust into the position.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that, you know, yeah, Mary and I would have probably preferred to do other things than just pay off debt. But because God was very clear with us beforehand, we didn't put ourselves in a worse position later.
Right.
We said, oh, okay, this is what God's got for us. This is what God's got for us. Let's do it.
It is also important to realize that sometimes it is a step of faith saying we have not prepared for this, but if God has clearly laid out this is what we need to do, we should go for it. Like sometimes God doesn't give you any time to prepare. Really, that time is leading up, you know, whatever time you didn't even know you were going to do this. Like, for instance, you know, maybe there's like a mission field opportunity. Maybe there is an opportunity to serve in your local church or your community or something like that. Like, there are always things that pop up that you are not prepared for. But through careful study of God's Word and leading your family in that as well, God also uses that as preparation. So you didn't know that you were getting prepared for something, and then all of a sudden, here it is, and you know what to do. Again, God works in ways we don't always understand, but it's because He is actively working in us, we can be prepared even for things we don't expect.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, I think that's all I've got for this week. Matt, do you have anything else?
Pray for me as I try to get all this work done.
Oh my.
It's the fun part. But that is all the time we have for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for hanging out for this long or short episode. And we will see y'all in the next one. Bye, everybody. Where's the animal noise?
Meow. Yeah.